Let's get out our Bibles, though, and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Here we are. We have been in the period of time in the book of Revelation called, of course, the Great Tribulation. And we have seen incense all offered at the altar there in chapter 8 and the silence in heaven, the law before the storm. And, of course, I'm sure that whoever taught commented that means there will be no women in heaven. No, just kidding, because it's silent for a long space of time. But anyhow, and no pastors. Anyhow, those judgments, of course, the answer to the saints' prayer. And then we saw fire from the altar there in chapter 8. Since the world will not come to the altar of forgiveness, they will come to the altar, okay, but it'll be of judgment. So people are going to deal with God one way or the other. The atheist is going to stand before God and be judged for his rejection and his foolish stance. And so we have been seeing these trumpets now going down, and of course we're coming to the end of those. And what we hear now is the incense at the altar, the prayers, and the fire from the altar. And now we have a voice from the altar here in the midst of this tribulation. Really, what we're going to see here, and what we've been seeing to some extent, is all hell breaking loose. I mean, you can literally title this message Hell on Earth, because that's exactly what it's going to be. What's God doing? Well, he's readying a Christ-rejecting world for his reign. He is going to come back, and he is going to set up his kingdom. And guess what? He's getting rid of those who reject him, still giving opportunity, as we have seen. Still giving opportunity for people to believe. The cost far greater. They will be put to death, of course, under the Antichrist regime. But things are coming down pretty heavy on planet Earth prior to his return. He is here now going to sound the fifth trumpet, and begin to see something pretty radical as Satan himself is loosed here. It says in verse 1 of chapter 9, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had the breastplate like the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." And so we see here this first trumpet, or the fifth trumpet rather, which is the first we're looking at today. Pretty radical events. Pretty significant explanation laid out here. As this star falls from heaven, when we start out there in verse 1, it says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth." Now, prior to this, we have seen stars, and they were literally stars. I mean, they were chunks of, you know, of junk and coming out of space, and or a star itself, you know, falling and causing all kind of cataclysmic events. But this one is unique. It's different. It's not to be thought of in the same way. And why is that? Well, because this star falling from heaven, it says to what? To him. Different star. Now, when you think of a star fallen from heaven, of course you flash back to Isaiah, right? When a star fell from heaven, his name, of course, Satan himself. A fallen star, you know, we use that term in our language today. Hey, this guy's a rock star. This person's a, you know, whatever star. And so this star is not just a piece of, you know, kind of chemical or matter or anything that falls. This star is Satan himself. And he's fallen here from heaven. He's coming down out of heaven, and he is a king, verse 2 says. Because he's a he, he's a king. And he fell to the earth. So a person rather than a fragment. And this star, I believe it represents Satan, because look at what he's given. He's so excited, I'm sure. Oh, wow, I've been given a key. Now you remember when Satan fell, he took angels with him, right? Okay, so some of those angels, apparently, 2 Peter tells us, are bound up. There are certainly demonic beings cruising around planet Earth presently. But there are some that were bound up, you see. Probably the worst of the worst, God in his grace taking the worst and binding them up. That's what we see here in this picture. Satan is given now the key in this last half of the tribulation here to go out and to now loose demonic beings that were bound up. And of course, we know that he was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, the bottomless pit. I read something somewhere, I can't even remember where, that there's people that think they actually have found the lid to the bottomless pit. I don't know that they did, but down in, and the idea, of course, is it's in the center of the earth, in the home of the abyss here, the home of the demons. Now we know that Satan will be confined for 1,000 years in the abyss, during the millennium when Christ comes back and he rules and reigns from the throne of David there in Jerusalem once, you know, all this is wrapped up. So we know Satan will be bound and then he will be loosed again at the end of that 1,000 years. And of course he'll go out and deceive many and they'll rebel against even the perfect environment with the perfect rule, which only goes to show, as we will see in our text here, that rebellion is in the heart of men. It's just, it's in our hearts. It's our problem. We have that propensity. But Satan here goes and he is given the key to let some of his most powerful demonic beings loose. Hey, I'm going to let him, I get to let him loose. And so he's all excited about that. And of course, this event, we see some kind of a thing as he ascends into this abyss. And we see the darkening of the sky and of the sun and all kinds of smoke. And of course, there's locusts and some locusts typically, as we know them and as we see in the Old Testament there with Moses, they consume green. Okay, they are there, and we know that by practical experience. It's happened in our lifetime where locusts have consumed fields of crops, you know. And here, though, that's not what these locusts are doing. These demonic beings, the picture, they look like locusts. They have an appearance like locusts, and he describes it. They got stings in their tails like scorpions, and they go about consuming. But the thing that these people hit is, I mean, that these beings hit, they sting people who don't have the seal of God that you remember in chapter 7, 144,000 sealed. Satan can't touch them. Just like Job, you know, God has limits as to what Satan can do. People think that there's this big equal battle between Satan and God. No, Satan is just God's ploy, just God's, you know, person that he uses to, you know, straighten things out. God even takes him and uses him for his own purposes, although he thinks, like sometimes we do, we're doing our own thing. Hey man, I'm not gonna do God's thing. I'm not following the devil. I'm doing my own thing. Yeah, If you're doing your own thing, you're doing the devil's bidding. That's the bottom line, okay? Know that. If you do your own thing, you're going to destroy your life. You need to do God's thing. That's what it's all about. But Satan here is loosing these. These stings could not touch anything except for, they couldn't touch the 144,000. They didn't eat vegetation, but they had power to torment people for 5 months. Now, 5 months, interestingly, is the lifespan of a locust. Did you know that? 5 months. Lifespan of a locust. And so they come up out of this pit. And the description in verse 7 there, they're compared to horses prepared for battle, human faces, crowns of gold, women's hair, lion's teeth, iron-like breastplates and wings that sounded like horse-drawn chariots rushing into battle. Now, obviously, John is describing here what he saw. And it's something that as he's looking at them, he goes, I don't know what's going on here. Now, Hal Lindsey, back, in the day, I think in the 70s, wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, which, by the way, is a good book. But he felt compelled to explain that John, perhaps, what he was really explaining is helicopters. How many of you have heard that? Have you heard that? Okay. Helicopters with some kinds of a bomb or thing, and they fired out of the tails of them, and they have, of course, the whirring of the blades, so they're loud, and the breastplates, and of course, they do look kind of like locusts. If you could picture in John's mind something he'd never seen or experienced with the windows and all, and they have that tail on them and cruising around. And so he said that that's what this was. I can't totally say that that's bogus completely. However, I tend to go with the fact that these were kind of literal beings and demonic forces and actually some kind of being in that situation. I'm not dogmatic on that, but the reason for that is because this pit is opened up and then the smoke ascends out and then it pollutes the air a little bit more, like we need that, right? Like we need a little bit more pollution. And no wonder it's going to be so miserable here and things are going to be so much, the world will be thrown into kind of craziness, because we know what happens when we have one of those volcanoes blow off and how that impacts our weather. Can you imagine this kind of an event happening? And then it says that these demonic beings come out and they wreak havoc. They wreak havoc. And we know, of course, this judgment is extended for 5 months. That's important, as it refutes clearly the view that all these judgments will occur in a very short span of time immediately before the second coming of Christ. There are those that say that, it just happens all in one day. Well, guess what? It is not happening all in one day. It's 5 months as these guys continue their little thing. And of course, the ruler over them is, in the Hebrew, Abaddon, in the Greek, Apollyon. Both words mean destroyer. Okay? So the one who's leading this is the great destroyer. Well, we know who that is, right? Satan hates you and has a horrible plan for your life, guys. Know that. Okay? And he's out, his goal in life, his sole purpose is to deceive you for the purpose of destroying you. To take you down a path that is going to not only destroy you, but your family, and impact the community. That's what he's out to do. I can't think of any better picture. I think this guy demonically, experiencing that same demonic kind of force, kind of, power, person, if you would, in that Scott Powell guy. I mean, that craziness that guy did. I mean, to take his own kids. And I mean, it appears that he killed his wife. Then he took his kids in. And rather than letting his in-laws watch them and take care of them, he took a hatchet to his own sons. And then he, boom, lit the whole place on fire in a supervised visit. It's crazy, but that's why we see today the Bible says that we're living, that the last days would be satanically energized times. Now, I'm not saying that people haven't always committed suicide, but it's no mystery. The fact of the matter is it's up, okay? And it's up not only committing suicide personally, but shooting all their family or several people and then, boom, shooting themselves. That is exactly the picture of what he's going to hell. He knows he is toast, you know, or maybe he's not. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he thinks he's actually going to win. I mean, as a deceiver, maybe he's that deceived. But he's trying to take everybody with him that he can. He's trying to destroy as many people on the way as he can. And though Satan sometimes appears and is portrayed as an angel of light, what we see here in our text is he is portrayed for what he really is. And so we see here that this is not going to be a fun time. That's why the Lord described it as of a time of great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again in Matthew 24, verse 21. There's not ever going to be a time like this on planet Earth. This is the worst of the worst. And then, of course, we move from the fifth trumpet here to the sixth trumpet. Now, the fifth trumpet is described as the first woe, and it's to be followed by two final trumpets that are also called woes. So the sixth trumpet seems to relate to some kind of a military conflict described in chapter 16, as you will get to it in verses 12 through 16. And then in Daniel chapter 11, a good thing to read a little background on this trumpet in verses 40 through 45. But at the sounding of the sixth trumpet here, we see that in verse 12, just before we pass on, though, I want you to note something about these demons. They had on their heads crowns of something like gold. So what that pictures in the Bible, gold speaks of authority. And so these demons have authority. And that's why they're out there, and there's nothing, you can't kill them. You can't hurt them. They only hurt you. And then, of course, their faces like faces of men. They have an interesting appearance in that they look normal, look like faces of men. They have faces that appear as men. And yet at the same time, here's an interesting thing. They had hair like women's hair. Now, when we think of women's hair, the women's hair, her long hair, is given what? For her glory, for her covering. And you know, come on, guys, we like that women's hair. They're pretty, you know. I mean, it's something that kind of attracts us, doesn't it? That's why a lot of women do the blonde thing, you know, because some guys like blonde hair, and there's something about a woman. Her hair is her glory. It attracts us, you see, to pay attention to them, you know, for better or for worse. But the thing that happens here is that these demons appear faces of men, but they're attractive. They look nice, and to look upon them, you're attracted to them. But guess what? They have teeth like lions. Speaks of deception. You see, that's the deception. They look normal. They're actually kind of nice looking and seem so good. But you know what? That's the way deception isn't it? Satan's a deceiver. Guess what, man? This may look good. They may look like men. They may look nice. They may look, you know, proper. But know this. They got teeth, man. They're going to chew you up. That's what the Bible talks about. Satan is a roaring lion going about seeking who he may what? Devour, man. He's out to chew you up and to spit you out and to wipe you out. So these demonic beings are interesting combination of just, you know, both attractiveness and yet inflict pain and destroy people's lives. And then the sixth angel sounded in verse 13. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year were released and killed a third of all mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red and an interesting blue hue and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship the demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Interesting here, we get to this sixth trumpet, the sixth trumpet here. And it seems to relate to some kind of a military conflict. John hears this voice coming from the horns of the golden altar before God. And this angel is instructed to release the four angels bound by the Euphrates River. So right away, when the angels are bound, we know they're not holy angels, all right? We know they're, again, demonic beings, because there's no need to bind holy angels, right? So these are demonic beings, again. And demonic in the sense that these are released. And of course, I want you to note something about this that you need to pay attention to. Their releasing is carefully timed. Did you notice that? There was a certain day set, a certain hour set, a certain month, a certain year. Which tells you something. God is doing exactly what he is doing, completely planned, everything timed. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to the earth, right? Jesus Christ. There was a time. There was a date. Hey, it was when everything was perfect for the spread of the gospel. Rome was in the place she was and everything going on. You know, there, the Greek was the language of the day. And it's then that the Lord sent his Son, Jesus, so that it could spread, this gospel message could spread. God has a time. To everything, there's a time, a season, a purpose. There's nothing in our lives that God doesn't have a plan and a purpose for and a time for. And if you've committed your life to him, man, your time is in his hands. He has preordained a day and a month and a time. That's why don't worry about dying, okay? No reason to worry about it, right? A lot of guys are so busy paying exorbitant prices for, you know, health food. And I'm not saying, not to eat healthy and that kind of a thing. But there are people that are paying for all this stuff out there to live a long life. Know this. There's a day, there's a time, and there's an hour for me. And there's a day and a time and an hour for you as a believer in Jesus Christ.